Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam. Dear listeners, Radio Sai continues its weekly presentation of the talking book version of Mr. Howard Moffat's highly acclaimed book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. The author was among the very early Westerners who came to Satya Sai Baba as a skeptic in 1964, and drawn by his enigma, he stayed for considerable periods of time near him in the next 6 years. During this period, he conducted extensive research and probing investigations into the Sai phenomena. He published his findings as the book that has become a classic of Sai literature, often considered the primer which introduced Sri Satya Sai Baba to millions round the world. This book was first published in 1971. Since then, it has been instrumental in drawing millions of seekers to the loving path of Satya Sai. These readings, dear listeners, are being aired every week, and if you wish to revisit a chapter at any time, you can do so at our website radiosai.org. So dear listeners, welcome now to Sai Baba, Man of Miracles by Howard Moffat.
Sai Ram, and welcome to Radio Sai's Talking Book Session. This is a presentation of select excerpts from Mr. Howard Moffat's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. We are now at Chapter 12. It bears the title, More Wonder Cures, and quotes Charles Wesley at the outset. Quote, light in life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Unquote. Mr. Moffat wonders if anyone can possibly know the number of miracle cures brought about by Sri Satya Sai Baba. He says that while there are no official bodies set up to investigate and compile statistics, one is constantly hearing of the Sai cures wherever one moves among the devotees. They have been going on for years and are still going on. The means and methods Baba uses are many and varied, from sacred ash to surgical instruments, which he materializes on the spot. But whatever his method, the marvelous, medically inexplicable element is ever there. Here are a few such accounts of medical marvels that Mr. Moffat talks about in this chapter.
Mr. T.N. Natarajan lives at Ernakulam, Kerala, and is very active in the Sai Baba movement in that area. His business is that of taxi owner, but anyone looking less like the typical taxi man would be hard to find. Like so many of the Sai devotees, he is gentle and aglow with brotherly love. I have had long talks with him at Prashanti Nilayam about many things, including his miracle cure from Baba. He told me that in 1957, he lost the sight of his left eye. First, he went to his family doctor, who sent him to an eye specialist in Bangalore. In that city, he actually consulted two specialists, whose names he gave me, but both told him there was no hope of restoring the sight of the blind eye. Not only that, but probably the other eye would be affected in time, and he would lose the power of sight altogether. This was a grim, depressing verdict. But on the same day came hope. Mr. Natarajan visited a cousin, saw a photo of a man in red robe with a black mop of hair, and asked who it was. The cousin was a Sai Baba devotee, and the upshot was that Mr. Natarajan arrived in Madras to see Baba, who was staying there at the home of Mr. Hanumanth Rao. At the first interview, Mr. Natarajan proffered the letter brought from his devotee cousin, but Baba refused to take it, saying, "Don't worry, I know all about your case. I will cure you, but you must come to Puttaparthi for 15 days. So he returned to Ernakulam, made all the necessary arrangements, and went straight to Puttaparthi. There he was told to come to Baba each morning, bringing a short string of jasmine flowers. Baba blessed this on each occasion and then tied it firmly on the patient's eyes. There it would stay for the day and the night. The next morning, Baba would throw it away and put on the new jasmine flowers. This went on for about 10 days. Then one evening, after bhajan, Baba called Mr. Natarajan into a room, waved his hand and materialized a small bottle. From this he poured a few drops of liquid into the bad eye. The liquid stung and irritated the eye, but Baba soothed him by saying, "Never mind, you'll soon be cured." On the following day, Baba again sent for him and this time materialized what the Hindus call a Rudraksha, a kind of talisman made from the berries of a tree growing in the Himalayas, used for bringing protection and other benefits. Baba handed this to him with instructions about how to employ it. A few days later, Mr. Natarajan returned to Ernakulam. The sight of his bad eye was very much better and it continued to improve. Within 3 months, it was quite normal, and he has had no trouble in the 10 years since then. Many more miraculous cures have been performed by Baba. Dr. D.S. Chander, a dental surgeon of Bangalore, who has been a devotee for 20 years, told me that in 1958, he was suffering some terrible pain caused by a stone in the gallbladder. His medical advisor said that a surgical operation was essential. Dr. Chander went to Baba, who made the jocular remark, "You surgeons can only think of knives or forks." Then he took some vibhuti from the air and gave it to the dentist, telling him to take a little, dissolved in water daily. In a short time, the pain vanished and no operation was necessary. In the 10 years since then, there has been no recurrence of the gallbladder trouble.
Despite Baba's joke about surgeons and their love of knives, on a number of occasions, when tonsils or a tumor or something else was to be removed, he himself performed surgical operations. For this purpose, he always materializes whatever surgical instruments he happens to require with the wave of the hand. Afterwards, he makes them vanish. Many have witnessed such events.
A remarkable case involved the use of vibhuti at a distance concerns a 14-year-old boy named Shivakumar, who suffered from heart trouble. In November 1964, when Shivakumar was staying with his uncle, Dr. M. D. V. Raman in Bombay, he developed cerebrospinal meningitis with partial paralysis of the left side and loss of both sight and speech. On November 30th, he became unconscious, and at 11:45 that morning, cyanosis intervened and the boy turned blue. The doctors gave him only a few hours to live. But at noon, he seemed to be making signs as if he wanted something. The people present interpreted his signs to mean that he would like a bath and some of the vibhuti which had been brought by a friend from Puttaparthi that morning. They did as he requested, bathing him and applying the consecrated ash. Next, he made signs that he wanted a photograph of Sai Baba. This was brought and set in front of him. Then Shiva rubbed his paralyzed left leg and arm with his good right hand. Suddenly he got off the bed and walked, albeit falteringly and with assistance, into the family puja room. There he sat near the altar and seemed to go into a state of meditation. This went on for about 2 hours and then Shiva walked from the puja room, this time unaided, looked about, went over to a chair and sat in it. Evidently his eyesight had returned. And then he spoke. He told those present that Sai Baba had appeared to him in a vision, saying that his life would be saved. Shiva had begged to have his sight and speech back too, and Baba had granted the prayer, telling him just what to do. Soon afterwards, Shiva was able to return to school and the studies he loved. When these facts were reported over a year after the miracle cure took place, Shiva was still in the best of health. At Prashanthi Nilayam in 1967, I met Mr. Rusi C. Patel, a Parsi of Bombay, and his wife. From them, I learned the story of their little daughter, Ketu. At the age of 2 years, Ketu could not speak, walk, or even stand. She had been given various kinds of medical treatment, including modern drugs and physiotherapy. But nothing seemed to have any effect. The source of the trouble was a mystery. Some thought it was a matter of mental retardation. Others said that it was some unknown, deep-seated nerve trouble. This was the state of affairs in February 1965 when Mr. Patel decided to go to Puttaparthi and see Sai Baba. His wife, who was a very orthodox Parsi, was not in favor of the idea, thinking it a waste of time and money. Shivratri festival was on when Mr. Patel arrived at the ashram and huge crowds were there. Although people urged him to seek an interview, he was diffident about doing so, especially as he felt that Baba knew all about his trouble and why he had come without being told. Several times he wrote a note intending to hand it to Baba as the latter passed through the crowd near him. But each time when he saw the little figure with the luminous face, full of the light of understanding, he decided that it was not necessary and tore the letter up. "When Baba wants me, he will call me," Patel said to his friends. But the days passed and he was not called. Streams of people were going in to see the great saint, but not Patel. Then one morning, some days after the production of the Lingam, it was announced that there would be no more personal interviews. However, Baba came onto the balcony and gave his blessings to all visiting devotees assembled there before they went home. Mr. Patel felt the great compassion pour onto the crowd and into his own heart. Yet in the train on the homeward journey, his faith and spirits sank to a low level. He thought of the days he had spent there and the chances of speaking to Baba he had missed. He thought of his poor little daughter, still unable to stand or utter a word. He imagined his wife's reproaches about the time and money he had wasted. He arrived at the door of his home, very depressed indeed. When he opened the door, the first sight that met his gaze was little Ketu, who could not even stand when he left, walking down the hallway to meet him, calling out, "Daddy, Daddy!" He picked her up and embraced her. Then he embraced his wife, while both of them wept with joy over the miracle that had somehow taken place. On checking the facts with his wife, Mr. Patel found that Ketu had first begun to walk and speak on the day before he arrived home, just after Sai Baba had given his blessings from the balcony to the assembled devotees. Sometime afterwards, Mr. Patel took his wife and daughter to see Baba when the latter was on a visit to Bombay. In the midst of many thousands that crowd around him in that metropolis, Sai Baba saw them and, in the words of Mr. Patel, greeted the little girl as if she was an old friend returned after a long absence. He took her on his knee, materialized some vibhuti, and put it in her mouth. After that, her speech improved greatly and she began using longer words.
The next story concerns Balbir Kaur, the Kanwarani of Landran and granddaughter of Raja Gurdit Singh, Redkariha of Patiala. This soft-spoken Sikh lady first met the author and his wife in 1967 as a member of Baba's party at Horsley Hills. It was there that she told the Murfits her moving story that brought her to Bhagwan. The case was confirmed by her daughter, the Maharani of Jind.
In April 1966, Balbir Kaur underwent an operation for an internal growth and a test showed that it was malignant cancer. She was not told this, but the report was given to her daughter, who took it to a specialist in Bombay. In July, Balbir had a bad hemorrhage and was taken from her house in the Punjab to Bombay and admitted to the Tata Memorial Hospital. The hemorrhage had been brought on by the growth of a cancer, which the Maharani of Jind said had come up as large as a horrible rose, the mother cancer having worked fast once released by the first operation. The Maharani continued, the doctors refused to touch her again, saying her case was hopeless and there was no chance of her coming through an operation. Sarcoma is the hardest and the fastest growing cancer, the operation for it the most aggressive and painful. However, with much begging and many tears on my part, the doctors at last agreed to operate. So on August 2nd, Balbir Kaur had her second major operation within a period of just over 3 months. She was on the table for more than 4 hours. Yet, despite the fears of the doctors, she still survived, coming back to dim consciousness to find 6 drainage tubes in her body. Attached to the tubes were electric suction machines drawing away the unwanted fluids. With their horrible constant ticking, as her daughter described it, they seemed to be also drawing the last of the life from mother's frail body. 21 days after the operation, the drainage tubes were still in place. The fast-growing cancer and the rot in the healing process, plus some faults in surgery, apparently caused the many leaks in the body. If one leak healed, another place would open up, the Maharani told me. Balbir became so feeble that she seemed to be on the very edge of death. She was given glucose solution and a blood transfusion. But then, there was a new leak of blood from one of the tubes. X-ray photography to find the cause of this revealed a hole in the ureter. The medical men decided that the third operation was essential in order to either repair the hole in the ureter or stop the left kidney functioning. But Balbir felt that she just could not endure any more major surgery. Her strength was at low ebb. She had a bad cough, and her mouth was so swollen as a reaction to antibiotics that she had to be fed through a nasal tube. To go through another operation before regaining some vitality would be her end, she knew. By some fortunate stroke of destiny, just before coming to Bombay for the cancer surgery, she had been given by one of her relatives a photograph of Satya Sai Baba and the book on his life written by N. Kasturi. The portrait had somehow touched her deeply, and as she read the book, her faith in Sai Baba grew in strength. In the Bombay hospital, she had come to a fork in the road where both ways appeared quite hopeless. She could not continue to live with her system in its present hopeless condition, and yet, on the other hand, her chances of surviving the necessary surgery, to put it right, seemed very slim indeed. Her life, she felt, hung on a thin thread. Only a miracle could save her. She had begun earlier to pray to the new divine man of power whom she had found, Sai Baba. Now her prayers became more fervent and continued without ceasing while she was on the table being examined and x-rayed in preparation for the third operation, which was scheduled for the next day. Just before she came off the x-ray table at about 4 p.m., the leak from the ureter seemed to stop. But this was thought to be only temporary, and plans for the operation were not changed. That night, she prayed with all her soul to Baba, asking him to heal her and spare her from the operation which she felt she could not survive. The leak continued to hold off through the night. Next day, there was still no leaking, and the doctors decided that the hole in the ureter must, by some mysterious means, have healed itself. They knew that I had been praying to Sai Baba, she told me, and they were forced to agree that a miracle had happened. Instead of having the operation that day, I had the drainage tubes taken out and was on the road to recovery, thanks to Baba. So the cancer had been cleared away, the rents and faults and leaks in her interior had healed up, and Balbir Kaur very soon regained sufficient strength to leave the hospital and go home. Then her one desire was to go to Puttaparthi and see in the flesh the great man who had saved her life. But people around her tried to persuade her not to go, saying that life at the ashram would be too uncomfortable for her. Again she approached Sai Baba through prayer. Tell me what to do, she prayed. In a dream, she saw him standing on the balcony at Prashanthi Nilayam, where she had never been in her life. His words to her were distinct and clear. Come to Puttaparthi. When she arrived there, she saw the building and balcony of her dream. Baba saw her and called her into a room alone. She had not given her name to anyone in the ashram, yet he knew her immediately and told her all about the operations, about her nearness to death and her cure. As a result of her experiences, Mrs. Balbir Kaur took up permanent residence at Baba's ashram, serving him till her end. The miracle of Balbir Kaur cure has been the means of revealing Sai Baba to many people, including her daughter, the Maharani of Jind, who has become an ardent Sai devotee.
Dear readers, we are only halfway through the intriguing accounts of Sai glory chronicled in Chapter 12. There are many more yet to follow. So let's take a break here, and in the next episode of this reading book, we'll bring you the second half of Chapter 12, entitled More Wonder Cures. Till then, all the best, and Jai Sai Ram. You have been listening to a presentation of excerpts from Mr. Howard Murfitt's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. This book has been published in 1971 by Frederick Miller Limited in London.